And let's get our word out this morning. We're going to go to a very familiar book, the book of Ezra. I know you've probably been reading there this week. Praise the Lord. That is in the Old Testament. And somebody said amen when you get there. It's quiet in the house of God this morning. Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. Amen. And if you are not having a good time finding it here this morning, it's right before the book of Nehemiah. That'll probably help you this morning. Praise the Lord. Somebody said amen if you're there. Amen. Lord, help us. We're going to preach from this a little bit more often. Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. And verse 5, and want to read down through verse 8 this morning. Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone here this morning in God's house. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face as it is this day. And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And these are very historical books, the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, and does not take away from the fact that they are Scripture, and they've got some meaning for us here in our time, in our lives today. I want to focus our attention on one of the last verses, and to give us a nail in his holy place. I just want to preach a little bit here this morning about a nail to hold on to. A nail to hold on to. You know, they used to say, or they, I guess, still do, if you get into trouble, just hang on, and if it gets real bad, just tie a knot and hang on the very end. Amen. But we've got to have a place to hold on to here this morning. Amen. Because there will be a time of trouble. There will be difficulties in your life. And if someone is having difficulties here this morning, I want to preach to you today and hopefully preach some faith into our hearts here this morning. Let's pray and ask for God's help today. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for truth this morning. We ask you, Lord, to lay your hand upon the service, the message, the worship, the prayer, everything that's going on here this morning. We ask your hand upon it, and we ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning if you will help me. Amen. The book of Ezra here, Ezra saw the need for a revival among his people. Obviously, by the reading this morning, the sins of the people of Israel had caused them to be carried away captive into Babylon. And to give us a little bit of understanding of what took place, the prophets, if you read in the book of Isaiah, you read in the prophets leading up to Babylonian captivity. What we can see this morning is Israel had finally made it to the promised land. They had set up their temple, their place of worship in the promised land, and they began to be blessed. And I feel like we're very, very blessed here this morning. All of us are blessed here this morning. And because of their blessing, they began to forget God, and they began to go against the ways of the Lord. They began to worship other gods. They began to sin greatly and to trespass. The kings would trespass. If you read in 1 and 2 Kings, it is the history of the kings that came and went in the nation of Israel, and how that one evil king would come up after another, and then there would be a good one, and then there would be evil kings that would rise up. And finally, it came to the place where God began to send prophets to them, and the prophets would prophesy and to say, the enemy is coming, you've got to get ready, it is breakover time here, there is no more mercy, there is going to be judgment that comes upon the nation of Israel. Israel has found itself in this condition in more than one place and more than one time in history. But in this particular instance, they were told, just surrender to the Babylonians because you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. And the younger ones, the very young men that heeded the call of the prophet, they surrendered to the Babylonians, and some of them, like Nehemiah and Ezra, Ezra is before the book of Nehemiah, they were contemporaries, they lived in the same time period, and they were involved in the same work of rebuilding and going back, and they were older men at this point in time because they had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Amen. That's a long time. The Jews understood what captivity was all about, for they had been in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and God delivered them out of that bondage. But here they were now in bondage. If you read in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Daniel, those two books were written in Babylonian captivity. It was in the time period there during those 70 years. And now a king rose up. There were, first of all, was the king Nebuchadnezzar, and then there were other kings that came up. And finally, the king Cyrus, C-Y-R-U-S, Cyrus, rose up. And it was at the end of the 70 years, he said, I'm going to let you go back to your land. I'm going to let you build your temple. I'm going to let you worship your God. Amen. I don't know why Cyrus did that other than it was the Lord that moved upon him to do that. But in Babylon, God did some very, very great works. He caused Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar made his famous speech and he did not give glory to God, that God cast him out, and for 7 years he crawled on his hands and his knees, and his hair grew like feathers and his fingernails were like claws, and he ate grass and was that way for 7 years until God gave him his mind back. Amen. God's a God of restoration here this morning. Amen. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God is able to lift you up and to help you this morning. I want to try to help somebody to believe that. And God gave him his mind back. And before all this happened, he was talking about himself and all of this. And when God gave him his mind back, all of a sudden he started singing the praises of God. All of a sudden, he started talking about how great God was. And then the next king that came up in Babylon took the vessels in the house of God, or that were in the house of God, that they had brought from the land of Israel. And they began to praise the gods of gold and silver And they knew what God had done through Nebuchadnezzar, but it didn't affect them. It didn't change their attitude. And we find in the book of Daniel that all of a sudden in their big party that they were having, there was a man's hand that appeared on the wall, and it began to write, amen. And it wrote some things upon the wall. Daniel came and interpreted the writing, and he said, your kingdom has come to an end. And that night he was slain by the Chaldeans. And time after time, God moved in the land of Babylon until this king Cyrus stepped onto the scene, the king of Babylon. And Cyrus was wise enough to recognize what God had already done, what God had wrought in his land. And he said, you know what? These folks have the right God. They have a real God. And I pray that people will know that we have a real God here this morning. Amen. That we're walking with the true God, with the real God. Amen. And he made a declaration and said, I'm going to let you go back to the land of your promise. Amen. And Ezra here was expressing himself, and he was looking at all of the things that had happened, looking back in history. You know what? We have a way of doing that, don't we? And really, history is a very important part of our future. If we forget our history, then we're not going to have a future. Amen. And somebody said one time that we are doomed to repeat history, and it seems to be that way, that generations will come and they will forget where they came from and how they got to where they are in their particular point in time. And they go the way of those that went that way. Amen. Praise God. And they repeat history, and they work it over and over and over again. And Ezra was looking back. He was a wise man, and he was looking back. Praise God. And he was looking around at his surroundings, and there was rubble everywhere. There were buildings that had been torn down. There were gates that had been burned up. Houses that were lived in. It was almost as though Ezra was looking around, and I don't know if you've ever been driving out in the country. I'm sure you probably have, and you'll see an old silo out there, or you'll see an old foundation out amongst a bunch of trees, and the trees are grown up between the foundations. And I've often looked at that, and I wondered, somebody grew up there. Somebody had a family there. There was a kitchen table. There was food there on the table, and they ate the food. But now it's just a remnant of what it was, and it's no longer even a building there. But there are certainly memories, and probably only a few people know what happened there. And Ezra was like that. He was looking at old remnants of the city of Jerusalem, totally, completely destroyed and brought down, and rubble and heaps of rock and probably bones that were in those rocks still because of the people that had died and the people that tried to fight the Babylonians but died. And you know, it's good to look back at history. But sometimes when we look back at history personally, in your own personal life, and you look at the things that you did and all of that, it's easy to condemn yourself for the rest of your life because of things that you've done. But you know what? This morning, God is bigger than our past. Amen. God is so much bigger than our past, and he does not look at our past when we come to him in true repentance and we pour our heart out to him and we let him know, God, we want to serve you more than anything else in all of the world. And we're turning away from our sins and we're coming to you, and we want to live for you, and we want to do your will. Praise God. I'm thankful that God is that way today. I'm thankful that he doesn't hold up the book of our history and say, here you are. Oh, yes, we're going to remember. There's some things we'll never remember, or we'll never forget, rather, things that we will always remember in our lives. When we look around and we see the remnants, and we see the remnant of the past, we see the rubble of the past, and all of these memories begin to flood through your mind and through your heart of the good times and situations and so forth. Amen. I remember we went to Boston and all the memories that were there in the city of Boston when we were there and preached on the 40th anniversary of the church there. Just so many, many memories flooded my mind and my heart as we sat there in the church and went through the service and looked at the outside of the building and all of the years that we spent there working for the Lord, doing the will of God. It's just natural for us to remember. Amen. But what we've got to recognize this morning is that God has the ability to forget. Amen. Well, praise God. God has the ability this morning to forget. And what he forgets is what we repent of and what we turn away from. Amen. And Ezra came along, and he was in a time of evening sacrifice here, and he rose up from his heaviness. Amen. Everybody said heaviness. Praise God. Sin will bring heaviness into your life. A heaviness that it's like a depression. Amen. It's a heaviness. It weighs upon your shoulders, and it's because of your sins. Amen. Because of his sins and the sins of his fathers. He spread out his hands unto the Lord. He was down on his knees. He put his hands out before the Lord, and he said, Lord, I'm ashamed. Amen. That's a good place to be. Amen. Where you're ashamed of the things that you've done. And God forbid that we ever come to the house of God and we are sinning in our life, and it doesn't affect us to come into the presence of God, and we can do that with sin in our lives. Amen. We've got to be ashamed. We've got to be able to blush. Amen. Look at it here. I'm ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. The Bible says in one place that they had gotten to the place where they could not blush. Amen. Where they did not feel condemned with their sins, but they justified themselves. And they said, I'm all right. And they came up with this and that and the other idea. But it is for the wise, amen, that understand the severity of sin and understand the severity of that broken relationship with God, amen, and come to the place where we feel ashamed and we blush to even lift up our face to God. Amen. And he said, our iniquities have increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Amen. Our iniquity, our rebellion, our sins, the things that we have done. God, I'm just surrounded by the rubble of my life, the rubble of my nation, the rubble of my family. And it's only the grace of God that I've been able to come back here to this land and contribute a little bit to the reconstruction, just to contribute a little bit to the rebuilding. We've got a long way to go, but I know that we can do it if God will help us. And the very first thing that he did was he found a place of repentance. I don't know about you this morning. I feel the Lord in this place here this morning. And this story of Ezra is not just a historical story. but it's a story that's very much like you and I. Amen. Like you and I when we were out in the world and living in sin. And for those that have even fallen away and have come back to God, amen, there's always that ashamed feeling. There's always that feeling, I've gone so far away. I blush to even think that somebody would bring up my past. I'm telling you here this morning, you're not alone. Amen. There's a lot of folks that are right there with you this morning. Praise God. And when we think about it, we think about the rubble. We think about the good times that we had with the Lord and how we managed to get so far away from God. Sometimes it seems like a bleak and a hopeless situation. I can see that in the writing here of Ezra, the words that he spoke. And he said, since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. For our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, to a spoil, to confusion of face, as it is this day. Amen. Everything went bad, and the enemy spoiled us and took away those precious things that God had put in our heart at one point in time. And I don't know where you're at this morning in your walk with God, but if you're just coming to God, I'm here to tell you this morning, you got to look at your sin the way it really is if you're going to be successful in living for God. It's not just a mistake, it's out and outright sin. Amen. It's wrong and it is destructive and it hurts a lot of people. Don't tell me that when the Babylonians came, that the children didn't suffer. They suffered and they died at the hands of the Babylonians. There was a lot of trouble. There was a lot of grief. There was a lot of hard feelings and broken hearts. A lot of things that took place here because of their sin. Our sin doesn't just affect us. It affects a lot of other people. Amen. I'm preaching to all of us here this morning. Amen. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of a living God. And we serve a living God here this morning. And Ezra was very, very wise to approach God in this way. He didn't say, God, we've made a lot of mistakes. No, he didn't say it that way. He didn't say, Lord, we just got confused and got sucked into this vortex of sin. He didn't say that. He just came right out and made it as clear as possible. Amen. He said, I've sinned. He said, we've all sinned, and we're just ashamed, God, and we just blush to lift up our face unto you. Amen. We don't feel like we're worthy of any of your blessings now. We don't feel like that the grace of God should be even given to us because we've gone so far. We've gotten so far away from you. Amen. And that was the feeling in the heart of Ezra. I hope I'm painting a picture here this morning that you can understand and that you can see. I know that I am because there are those of us this morning that understand these things. I would be totally ashamed this morning if anybody were to bring up my past. Amen. If anyone were to bring up my sins and to read them in a book in front of those that I love and I know. My brother was, with my son and I took something back that I had borrowed from my brother. And we were talking about things and the subject of sin came up. And I made a comment about how there is so much sin around us. And it was almost as though the Lord spoke to me, but it was so embarrassing. And he said, well, I remember what you used to do. And then he began to name some of the things that I used to do. This was before the Lord. And I know I blushed, and I know that it embarrassed me. And I apologized to my son after that little encounter that he had to hear the things that his dad did when he was out in the world. And I'll tell you what, this morning, some of us are in that place here today. Praise God. I know we all look real good and we're